set that where you want them.
Jim Jardine brought this song to me. Very beautiful song. It's got good words to it. Jim, I hope you at least recognize it. It's called What Would I Do Without Jesus? What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley?
Thank you, Larry. Great song. Thank you for singing for us this morning, and Larry and Lauren for playing along. We appreciate the song this morning. All right, Junior Church can be dismissed at this time. We want to apologize if anyone drove here last Sunday and we weren't here. Hard to get a hold of everybody and notify everybody. We tried to put a notice on Facebook, and they buried it way down in the middle of the page instead of putting it up at the top. But anyway, we just felt the roads was too bad to try to ask people to come out. So we again apologize if you drove here and we didn't see us here. We are glad that Jenny got home yesterday. Praise the Lord, after over 4 months, that had to be a great celebration. We're thrilled to see her back home sitting in her chair. Amen. And we do want to pray Mrs. Lamb, her sister, 51 years old, passed away this week unexpectedly. And our sympathy and our prayers go out to you, Mrs. Lamb, and the loss of your sister. And that makes two within a month that they have unexpectedly lost. So our prayers are with you this morning. Also, please pray for Doug and Stacy. Doug has tested positive, and Stacy was around him. She went and got tested. She was negative, but she's in quarantine by herself, and Doug's by himself. She is staying in her parents' home while they're in Florida. And she's very concerned because she was around Shay and Mitch after she was around Doug. So just keep that whole situation in prayer. We certainly would not want to see Shay come down with this at the time of her pregnancy. So serious situations, and we just ask that you remember all these in prayer. Our Bibles were open this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Last Sunday morning, I was preparing to bring a message from my home. I had the tripod set up. I had it getting everything ready. It was about 10 minutes to 11, and my internet went down, and we had no internet. So I was not able to bring a morning message. Kind of a frustrating day last Sunday. But nevertheless, the Lord knows all about it. But it was back on in the evening. And so perhaps you did see the message on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock that I brought from my home. And it was on this chapter, chapter 11. For all of those that didn't have the opportunity to see, I am going to briefly go over what I went over last Sunday evening. The subject is faith. And let me emphatically declare unto you and to all that's listening by Facebook, you were not born with faith. Nobody was ever born with faith. Faith is a gift, and it's spiritual. And no man has it. No man's born with it. There's only one avenue to obtain it. Hearing the word of God. That's it. And then God gives us faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Secondly, it's impossible to be saved by the gospel of God. It's impossible to please him. And it's impossible to be saved, because by faith we please God. And secondly, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's impossible to be saved. So something has to happen after we're born. And if we stay as we are, and nothing ever happens from the time we're born to the time we die without faith. And we die lost. So that's why, as I said last Sunday night, the devil does his best to keep people away from the Word of God. There is approximately 7 billion people upon the face of the earth today, and there are billions of them that have never held a Bible, never seen a Bible, never read a Bible, never heard anything from the Bible. Religions don't use the Bible. They're in darkness, and they have no faith. There's only one way, according to the book of Romans, to get faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's very clear. You weren't born with it. I wasn't born with it. Man is born with a lot of traits, but nothing spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about man until he finds Christ. There's nothing spiritual about man until he embraces Christ. Nothing. He may be religious. He may be serious. But there's nothing spiritual about man before he embraces Christ. So the first goal is to get the word of God to people so that they can hear. And then it's up to them what they do with it. I had never heard the word of God. 32 years I'd never touched the Bible, never had opened the Bible for 32 years of age, and I don't live in some far distant primitive area. I live here in America like everybody else did. At the age of 32, I never held a Bible, never heard the Bible, never read the Bible. At the age of 32, went to church every Sunday. My church every Sunday. And I want to emphatically say this morning, emphasize, you're not born with faith. You're not born with any spirituality. Neither am I. No one. But that's where it begins. This book. Being born again by the word of God. 1 John says. And without being born again, will be separated from God for all eternity. So faith is an important subject. And so there's three points that I'm bringing out, and we're going to be in this chapter today and next Sunday and maybe a third Sunday. In verses 1 through 3 of chapter 11 is faith explained. Faith is explained in verses 1 through 3. And then verses 4 through verse 37, faith exampled, or examples of faith. People from the Old Testament selected by the Holy Spirit and revealed in this chapter. Now, man lived before the flood close to 1,000 years. And yet God went down into one little point of their life and pulled it out. You know, do you ever think, what's important to God? What's important to God? What is important to Him? And as you read down through the many examples in chapter 11, verse 4, through almost the end of the chapter, he reaches down into the life of different people, just like you and I. They got up every morning and they laid down every evening. They may not have probably had the conveniences that you and I have, but they got up, they laid down, they lived their lives and so forth. No different than we are. Lived in a different era of time. And yet, God reached down into their life and pulled out something about them that was important to Him, or He would have never revealed it. He would have never revealed it. And you think about our life. What is in my life that's important to God? You ever think about that? What is in my life that's important to God? If he was writing a passage on my life, what would he point out? I say it again. You find in this chapter all about these examples, their faith. Not one mention of their failure. And that's all we want to talk about. People's failure. That's the first thing we'll point out. That's the first thing that we will talk about. That's the first thing that we will broadcast about. The failures of people. God, isn't it wonderful that we're... isn't it wonderful that God's not like man? In this instance, never pointed out a failure, and they all had failures. Abel didn't live long enough to know much about him, as we'll see in a moment. But he never pointed out any of their failures. Moses killed a man. Abraham had a second affair with an Egyptian girl. Noah got drunk. All of them had problems. They all had problems in their life. But he never pointed out one failure. Why are we always so quick to pick out a failure or something we feel that's a failure in somebody's life and totally overlook good or accomplishments? That's the way we are. That's the way we are. And that don't please God. That doesn't please God. God says there's a certain point in their life I want you to know about. So he uses these examples. And we're going to look at a few of them. Thirdly, at the close of the chapter, in verse 38 and 39, we've seen faith exalted. Faith exalted. So we have three sections, verses 1 through 3. Faith explained. Verses 4 over through verse 37, faith exemplified by the different characters, and then we find faith exalted. Faith exalted. Now, what is faith? You're not born with it. You have to obtain it. The Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 8. That in the flesh, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God with the flesh. It's impossible. Can't do it. We have to have something from God. And it only comes one way when we hear this right here. So faith is. That's the way it begins. Now faith is. Now, faith is substance or sustaining, the sustaining of things that we are assured of. The word hope is not a doubt, chance. It's we are assured of. It's the sustaining things that we're assured of. The evidence of things not seen, and I brought out last Sunday evening back from Romans chapter 1, that the things that we see explain the things that we don't see. The things that we see put on display the things that we don't see. And there's one beautiful example of that, and that came from Jesus when he was approached by the religious leaders, and they said, "Show us the Father." And he said to them, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." There it is. I don't have to say any more. The unseen is seen by what we see. And not only in his person, but in all of his program. And all of his plan. We understand the unseen by what we see. I'm not going to elaborate on it. Verse 2, the elders obtained a good report. He's speaking about the ones he's going to point out here in just a moment. Now in verse 3, through faith, we understand. Faith, absolutely, to have any spiritual understanding, it takes faith. It takes faith to understand. Now, we understand with our intellect. We understand with our mind. We understand reason, calculate, so forth, but not spiritually. Not spiritually. When we simply believe, and that's another word for faith, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So another word for faith is believe, and many others. It's in the Bible. It's a word that means trust, and it's inside of our soul. It's not in our head where the intellect, the emotions, the will, and all of that is. It's in our soul, the very life that will live forever. That's where understanding comes. We must believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Faith must be in the heart, not in the head. It brings understanding, spiritual understanding. And what does he deal with in verse 3? Creation. There's no need of moving into the characters of salvation until we get it clear about creation. And again, the world's been lied to. The world's been lied to. The educational department has promoted it. The lies of evolution. And the denial of creation. You can never, ever meet Christ in salvation if you've never met him in creation. Impossible. And it's in this order. It's in this order. You see the devil's manipulating control of the world's population? How he manipulates to keep this book from people as much as possible. And then gets the minds of our young people. And we wonder what happened to our youth. What's happened to our younger generation? What's happened to the last 3 or 4 generations? And they believe this big boom bang crazy stuff. And the channels on the television, if you've got time, patience, that you want to sit down and watch anything, they're filled with it. There's a lot of good programming on the History Channel, but there is so much garbage. You know, we used to weed our garden. That didn't mean we planted weeds in it. We took them out. And boy, there needs to be a bunch of weeding. My, how they have so corrupted many of these programs. That they're learning. They're learnable and very teachable and enjoyable to understand, but so corrupted by false teaching. Through faith, we understand. What do we understand? How the world came. Where it came from. That's what we understand. That's creation. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed or created by the Word of God. God, in Jesus Christ, simply spoke, and it was there. My God, the one I know, said, let there be a sun, and there was the sun. God said, let there be a lesser light, and there was the moon. God said, let there be star. He spoke them into existence. He created something out of nothing. Man's created a lot of things, but he has to have something to create something. God created all without anything. He simply spoke it, and it was there. That's my God. That's my God. So that, after we understand that the creation was by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, the things we see, were not made of things which do appear. What we see in life, something that we also see, did not create that. Now he's talking, some smart aleck one day said to me, "You think God created my car?" I said, "Dummy, we're talking about creation of nature, man. We're not talking about cars. We're not talking about Ford Chevy." I said, "If you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. If you want to be dumb, be dumb. I mean, that's your choice. Did God make my car?" Unreasonableness, incapability, or desire of capability to completely understand what we see was never created. But what we have, what is here now, did not create something else. So that takes care of evolution in that one verse, period. How did it get here? God spoke it into existence, period. Once we understand that, accept that, then we move forward to salvation. Faith must bring us to creation first. But I don't know that until I read the Bible. And at the age of 32, I've never held one in my hand. When I went to school, and, you know, I may look like I'm 200 years old, but I went to school back in the 50s and the 60s, and the world history books at that time, back then, in a small Wolf Creek district out of Waterford, Beverly area, the world history book taught evolution. Back when I went to high school. Back then, that far. And I never thought anything about it. But I remember in the paragraphs where it talked about the billions of years, and it talked about this and how this came to pass, and the prehistoric this stuff and all this creation. I remember reading about it. I love history. I love history. I didn't like science, but I loved history. And I never was real enjoyable about mathematics. You have to create a number to make another number so that this created number makes this uncreated number, and you take the two uncreated numbers and you make another number. And my thought was, two and two is four. That'll work on the farm. So we ought to come to an understand where we came from. We came from God. All things were created by him. All things. And without him was nothing created. That's clear and given. So that's the explanation of faith. Boys, get that. Understand that. You know where you came from, Mark Iokas. God created you. Right? Amen. Amen. Now, beginning in verse 4, we find the characters, beginning with Abel. The first man, along with his brother, born on the earth. Adam and Eve were created. And here is one of the first two born of woman. Notice both of them are mentioned in this chapter. In this verse, both of them are mentioned. The first two people to ever be born of woman on this earth, both of them are mentioned in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There he is. We talk about Cain and Abel. By which he obtained witness What did his offering bring him? He was righteous. Who said so? God testifying of his gifts. His offering was a righteous offering. God testified and said it. And then it goes on to say, and by it, oh, this is beautiful. Because of his offering and because of his righteousness, even though he was dead, he's still speaking. Even though he's dead, even though he perished, even though he lost his life, he is still speaking. Cain, who the Bible says was of the wicked one, established what we call world religion. It's an effort by the hand of man to appease a deity. And many of the deities in Cain's religion have been created by man himself. And they worship it. They bow down to them. And they pray to them. And the book of Romans chapter 1 says they love to worship the creation instead of the creator. They denied the Godhead power. They denied him. And when they knew God, they would not recognize him as God. So we find here the first man. His name was Abel, and it cost him his life. It cost him his life. His faith cost him his life. And that, my friend, has been going on ever since. I said last Sunday night in the message, every war that's been fought has been a religious war. Religious in nature, religious in wanting to accomplish, religious in purpose. They've been religious wars. There's persecution all around the world. We thank God that in this country we still have some freedoms. But around the world, in places and other countries, you cannot carry a Bible. You cannot outwardly and openly confess Christ. I was in the country of Romania under communism, found with Bibles. God protected us. But it was a very unpleasant event. You could not carry a Bible under communism or be seen. You know what the communist socialists did? They rounded up all of those Christians that took a stand and did not bow the knee to communism, socialism. They would not bow, and they stood, and they rounded them up and put them in trucks, cattle cars, railway cars, hauled them off into prison. They stripped them. They had no clothes. And they put them in large containing rooms where there may be 300 or 400 people naked, men, women, children. No bathroom facilities, no water. And not to be indecent, but yet to explain the mentality and the cruelty of socialistic communists toward Christianity, the people would go over into the corners and desecrate there. You can imagine after a while what that kind of life would be. And then some great general with silver white wavy hair and dignified would step into the room after maybe a month or so, and he would say to all the people in the room, how many of you are in here are Christians? How many of you confess this king called Jesus? And all the hands would go up. And he'd say, all right, stand. Naked, cold. And he said, now we're going to have for you today the Lord's Supper. This is written in Warmberg's book. Richard Warmberg, he wrote it. It happened. I talked to pastors that was in the prison when they did it. And they gathered the urine and they gathered the dung and they put the dung in a plate and they put the urine in a bowl and they said, we're going to have the Lord's Supper for you. And everyone's going to partake. That's socialistic communism. They did it. Yep, they did it. What we're going to observe here this morning. I was told that by many pastors that they did that. Mocking the Christian and mocking Christ. There's a great awakening coming to some people. They won't listen to the Word of God, and they won't listen to the preacher, and they won't listen to the Bible, and they're in freelance. And boy, they're in for a great awakening. He was made righteous, but I want you to emphasize one thing. He was dead, but he was still speaking. And Cain brought his offering. He took it from the ground that God had cursed and put it up into the face of God and said, look what I've done. And God had no respect for his offering and would not accept it. That made him angry and he couldn't get to God, so he did the best thing. He knew how. I'll take down the one that worships him. And he killed him. He killed him. He killed his brother. Took his life. The people today that are walking and yet they're dead. They're walking around dead. They've been slain by somebody. Their heart has been butchered. Their feet, their heart has been wiped on by other people's feet. They've been butchered. Bert brought it out one day. The hurting that's been hurt by the hurting. Butchers. Oh my. And I say today, those are the people that will point out a fault in a heartbeat will never recognize a blessing. Those are the people that will point out a something that they don't like or something that's wrong that they don't approve of, but overlook a blessing, overlook and never recognize something that God's doing. I want to tell you, I have to question those people. I'm not judging them. I'm certainly observing them. And the list grows. God came down. Where's your brother? How do I know? Arrogant. How do I know? My brother's keeper. That's how life began. That's how life began on this earth. It wasn't a big bang. It was a murder. And we don't know what he killed him with. We know he didn't have an ACAR, RK, or 380, or semi-automatic rifle, or he didn't have any type of guns. He killed him, which tells it's what's in the heart of people, not what's in their hand. It's what's in their heart. He killed him, and it was religious in nature. But yet he speaks, and God said, "The blood of thy brother Abel speaks from the ground." If I had the time, I'd go back and show you exactly after God dealt with Cain. Here's exactly, and I quote verbatim what Cain said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Oh, someday when people who think they're running their lives and running everybody's lives and they think they are in control and whippy-doo and we've got the world by the tail, oh my, are they ever in for a rude awakening when the deity of all creation and salvation steps on the scene? That's what we call the faith of worship. We can only worship one way, according to John chapter 4. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit, heart, and truth. Spirit and truth. Cain did not have truth. He had a lie devised in his own heart. Abel came by the way that was taught to him and showed him by his father, who was taught by God Himself. Adam and Eve took them fig leaves like man tries to try today. He tries to cover up. If that worked, then my question is, Adam and Eve, why were they hiding and why were they afraid of God? If that worked, God came down and said, "Get them crazy looking things off you. They don't do a thing for you." Then He took skins and He clothed them. He took skins and He clothed them. That's an act of God. Adam and Eve did not take care of their own problem. God Almighty took care of it. And He taught, Adam then taught his sons, here's the way we get and stay right with God. God does it for us. Cain said, "I'm not going that route. I'm not going that way. I'll go my own way." And then when it's all said and done, Cain said, "My punishment's greater than I can bear." Oh, someday when the deity of all creation and salvation steps on the scene, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And that day could be right now as far as I'm concerned. So that is the faith of worship. The second is in verse 5 and concluded in verse 6. And the man's name is Enoch. Enoch. Now, hold your finger right there with me, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to have to close here in just a minute. As I said, we will be in this chapter for the next at least one Sunday, probably two Sundays. Go back with me to Genesis 5. Hold your finger there in Hebrews. There's something said about this man that's not said in verse 5 and 6. And if you look at Genesis chapter 5, which has the genealogy of Adam, and then on down through a spiritual genealogy all the way over to Noah in approximately 1,600 years. We'll find our character, and he could have picked out any of these. He picks out two. Before the flood, he picks out two characters, Enoch and Noah. But he could have picked out any of these. But he wanted to pick out a specific event in each one of these people's lives that he wanted to admonish them in. In verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. What a statement. The Bible says that Abraham walked with God. Do you? Do you, my friend on Facebook? Do you walk with God? These were pre-flood days. you can go back to Hebrews chapter 11. These were pre-flood days. And I'm going to make a point here, and then I'm going to close for this morning because we have the Lord's table to follow. The pre-flood days are explained in Genesis chapter 6. The imagination of man was only evil continually. The imagination of man was only evil continually. And the earth was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Those are just a brief explanation of society before the flood. And in that environment of total evilness, violence, corruption, a man walked with God. Don't let anybody tell you, and don't let anybody convince you or try to influence you that it's tough to be a Christian in the day that we live. It's the greatest time to be a Christian because the darker the hour, the brighter the light. Enoch lived in this pre-flood time when man's mind was only evil. The earth was filled with violence. It was totally corrupt. No one responded to Noah's preaching. No one accepted the fact that judgment was coming. Nobody believed the message. But there was a man that lived in that pre-flood period of time who we've got now in our context. He walked with God. We don't have to let the world control us, nor society, or other people called Christians. I want to tell you something. People that don't walk with God's program are not walking with His person. People that are not right with His program are not right with His person. I don't care what they say. It don't impress me a bit. And I don't care what they do. It don't impress God one bit. So Enoch established a standard in his day. It says of Noah that walked with God. It says that Abraham walked with God. And they all lived in deplorable times, corrupt days. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the return of the Son of Man. He reached back and took that pre-flood era of time and brought it up and said, this is the way the earth is going to be right before I come back. It's going to be only evil. It's going to be corrupt. It's going to be full of terror and violence and murder and killing. It's going to be a terrible time, just like back then. It's going to be right before I come. And I say to you, in that time period, a man walked with God. And people that live in our era of time today, and they say that I'm a Christian, and I'm okay, and I live right, but they're not in connect with the program of God. They're not connected to the person of God. Because you cannot walk anywhere without Him. And when you walk with Him, you will walk directly into His program and be in aligned with it. I'm worried about people. I really am. As a pastor and as a shepherd, I'm worried about people that say they're sheep and live like bully goats. I want to tell you, I am deeply concerned. I've had a bad week, and I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just saying it's been a rough week. And I want to tell you, God gave Frosty the message for me this morning. That message was right for me, Frosty. Exactly what I needed. Great, great lesson. Great lesson. People can put on a charade and put on a show all they want. This is not time to play games with God. And this is not time to play church. And this is not time to play around with God. This time, better be getting serious. Better be getting serious. People actually said, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a break from. We're going to take a break from people. We're going to take a break from church. We're going to take a break. In 43 years, I've never heard tell of anybody saying, we're going to take a break. You ever heard anything like that? We're going to take a break. Now, I want to tell you, I'm concerned for people like that. I'm concerned for people like that. And many others like it. Been in church all their life. Here's a man that lived in those times. Those times didn't overcome him. He overcame them. And he walked with the one that was bringing destruction. He walked with God and set a standard up. The just shall live by faith. We shall walk by faith, not by sight. So he had a testimony back in Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated, changed, that he should not see death. That's going to happen to us one of these days, my friend. We're going to be driving down the high bay or walking to the refrigerator or walking back to the bed or walking somewhere to the coffee pot or somewhere, and all of a sudden, you're gone. And we're out of here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And Enoch becomes a beautiful picture of what God's going to do right before the flood came. Enoch went out before the flood came down. And God's about ready to judge this world. And I remind everyone, America is in the world. And God's about ready to judge this world. But before he does, like Enoch, whoo, out he goes. An old-time preacher one time said, God came down one day to Enoch, and they went for a walk, and they got, and God said to Enoch, he said, you know, we're quite a ways from your home. Why don't you just come on home with me and spend, just come with me. Too late for you to return back. Can't prove it, but it's a nice story. He was translated, he should not see death. That's the rapture, my friend. Before judgment, he went up and went out. He was not found. You couldn't find him. Oh, when people that say they're Christians, we're going to go over to Grandpa's house. Well, where's Grandpa and Grandma? Where are they? Wonder where Dad and Mom's at. Well, what are they? Where are they? Where's my brother at? Where's my sister at? Where's that preacher at? I want to have him for fried dinner again today. I wonder where he's at. Where are all these people? And when they thought we was going out, they're left behind. Oh, the movie that said left behind. Because they were not found, because God translated him. For before this translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And now in verse 6 is the standard. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Faith, you weren't born with it. You weren't born with it. You got it when you heard the word of God. And God, through the Holy Spirit of God, creates that faith in us, which gives us the ability to believe and to trust and to receive and accept, and then walk and live for him. It's all a gift of God. We're just the recipients. Faith, faith, faith. All right, men, if you come this morning, get the Lord's table ready. We'll continue from there next Sunday morning. As Frosty explained, we only pass one time because he found these things and they're nice. I think we're going to stay with them. There it is. Now you know, opening a package of meat today is sometimes the hardest work you've done all day long. Huh? Yeah. You just got a little, go ahead and be seated. You just have a little thing here you pull off, and the wafer is right in there. And we'll take the bread, and then you pull the second, after you take that out of there, then you pull the second, and then you add your juice. Isn't that a handy little thing? Yeah. Thank Frosty for getting those for us.
We're not having any training class.
We're not. Okay. Yeah, you done got all the explanation you're going to get. So we'll go ahead and distribute these, and then you just keep them, and we'll take the bread in unison, and we'll take the cup in unison. All right, the men will distribute those. Just keep them. We need to get the people down. We need to get Lynn. One of the boys can go down, Rich.
Yeah.
Darian, go down and get Lynn. Here we're down there. Okay, go ahead and distribute. Then we'll have prayer. And maybe see them. have. Leave it up to me. There's one thing I want to share with you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. As we do this, we are putting on display the death of Christ until he comes. It's a testimony, just like baptism is a testimony. What we're about to do is a testimony that in my heart lives by faith the one that gave his body and shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins and to receive eternal life and live forever with him. He came down here so that he might take us up there to be with him forever. I may have to have my wife open this. You know, those fingers don't work like they used to. I found that. Yeah. It takes a little while for me. All right, peel off your top if you haven't already. We are displaying the Lord's death. We're to remember, we're to examine, we're to judge those things in our life, we're to be clean. You do not have to be a member of this church to participate. All you have to do is be right with God, saved and be right with God. And it is a command. It is a command. It's not an option. It's a command. This do. It's not an option. It's a command. And so as today we put on display from our hearts the death of our blessed Savior. We'll ask Dean if he would to bless this bread before we partake of it.
Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did on that cross. Because, Father, that is the beginning, Lord Jesus, of the Christian life. Without the cross, there's nothing.
Yep.
And Father, we just praise you, Lord Jesus, for the broken body. As you was whipped, a crown of thorns placed upon thy head, and Father, we just thank you for what you went through. We have no idea.
Yeah.
We have no idea, Father, as you took up on the sins upon yourself of the world. We have no idea what that hour was like. You had even asked that be taken away, and yet you said, "Not my will, but thine."
Yeah.
Father, you went through, because if you had not, we would all be lost today.
Amen.
Father, we just give you praise and glory and thank you for it.
Amen. May partake and eat. Pardon? Help her there. All right, you can pull back the second one. I've been down here in the mornings when Frosty was getting these ready in times past. And try, this happens all the time at the house. And he'd have to pour that very carefully into each one of those little cups. And this is really a blessing. Did you get it? Okay. There you got it. Okay. All right. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So God selected blood as the symbol of life, eternal. And it took his own blood to purchase us. So the blood is represented as the bread was his body. The blood is represented by juice, simple juice, as a symbol again of the testimony of the cross upon which Christ died. He shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So we have eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Frosty, would you ask the Lord to bless this cup?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of
Yep.
The blood sacrifice.
Yep.
How it cleanses us from our sin, makes us receptive within your sight. And Father, we just thank you so much that we can go back to the pastor. The blood on the door of us.
Yep. Amen. He partake. Amen. Well, we'll be back tonight, 5:30 choir practice, evening service at 6. We'll continue in the book of Zechariah in the evening service tonight. Thank you for being out. Boy, it's good to see the sunshine. I'm ready for spring. All right, thank you for being here this morning. Shall we stand, be dismissed in prayer? Rich, you dismiss us in prayer. Go back and tell those lambs I need to see them. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon.